week on the Reflex Blue Show with Nate Voss and Donovan Berry. Your ass is getting portfolioed.
Nate, we got a little special Reflex Blue Show.
It is special, and not like all the others aren't special, but this one is actually special.
It's so special, we didn't even bring in another guest.
I know, you know what, funny.
This is actually like the first time ever.
This is the first show we've done in a very long, this may be the first show we've ever done with just you and I.
I know, it's kind of crazy.
I think this is the first ever Donovan and Nate solo show.
Wow, and what it is we actually got invited to speak at the local portfolio review session called Meet the Pros over in Council Bluffs.
Yep, Omaha Federation of Advertising does that every year. It's a killer event.
And they told us, they said, okay, we need you guys to headline the lunch.
I like that.
We're
going to
get the big keynote.
Even though we weren't their first choice, I did like that.
Hey, we weren't the first choice, but we were the first choice that said yes.
That's right, baby.
And so they said, we want you to speak about portfolios, and we said, we can do that. And then we made this custom presentation just for them, and it turned out well enough. We think we're going to try to record it for you guys.
We're just going to drop it on the show because it's good info. This was put together for a pretty specific audience, but we think a lot of the fundamentals here really relate to graphic design students at large.
Yeah, because a lot of these people were ad majors.
A lot of ad majors.
Photography, PR.
Exactly.
I don't know what they did.
It turns out you can't major in like account reps, and I think that's why a lot of account reps turn out the way they do. But I have worked with some fantastic account reps before, so I love those guys. Actually, they've all pretty much been ladies, and good for them. So I think we should probably do this. We call this the portfolio-owned, coming soon to
and
a
now,
theater near
now, it should
you.
Also be noted that, as you see, boom, pop the first one up here, Nate. We're going to have a lot of slides going through this podcast.
Yes.
More than usual. In fact, half the humor may even be in the slides, or half the information may be in there. So you may want to keep a little bit closer of an eye on your viewer than you normally would.
You know what I would go ahead and recommend? Go grab your lady friend. Go grab some popcorn and a couple cold ones. Pull up an inflatable couch in front of your computer. Chill out. Watch it. Maybe make out while the show's on. That's good. But yeah, there's going to be a lot of info going here, peeps.
Okay, Nate.
I'm ready, Donovan. Are you?
I'm ready.
Where should we do this at?
Let's do this in my office.
Okay. Done.
Okay.
There.
Now let me clean off the board here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, take down the photos of the dog and that old busted AIGA work you
now
did.
I'm leaving the Donovan album up there.
Okay, that's good. I like that.
Now let's hang that up.
And
now,
okay,
now,
right here?
Yeah, now we need to zoom in.
Oh, okay. That's a better shot,
this
I think.
Is portfolio-owned.
Yes, it is. I'm excited about that.
Now, since this was a presentation, we have to introduce ourselves.
Oh, right. Hey, I'm Nate Voss. Are you doing? Did we do that? I don't think we actually
did
intros at the beginning of the show.
Well,
hi, I'm Nate Voss.
I'm Donovan Berry.
That works out good. This is Donovan Berry's office.
Yeah, I work at a company. You know, you got to tell the kids when you present, and I work at 1119.
This went over huge in the presentation, I recall. This is letting our listeners down, though. This is actually Donovan's side office. His other office is made out of gold.
Yeah, gold awards printed in rosewood.
Right.
And you can see my work at 1119.com.
Mm-hmm. This is my work. You can find that at vossum.com and a horribly not kept up-to-date blog, but it's there. And this is even the like older, less cool version with the lighter background. We have switched to a darker background now. It's sexier. And it's got some things on there.
We're actually invited here to speak because of this podcast we do. At the time, it was called the Be a Design Cast.
Yeah, I remember when we used to do the Be a Design Cast.
And you could get that on iTunes. You still can.
Yeah, we were telling everybody about the show because it's kind of like Bright Eyes. No one in Nebraska listens to us, but apparently people elsewhere do. So thank you for listening, and we love you guys.
And now you can catch our new show also on iTunes. And we actually... Let's get back to the presentation here. And then real quick, we'll want to mention that we actually had our books there because it's hard to give portfolio advice and then actually show your stuff.
We did kind of bring out our wangs, so to speak, and said, okay, yeah, who's going to get up here and tell you guys how to do your portfolios without bringing their own? So we did, and I can say that my portfolio was woefully inept and broke several of the rules that we had put down in the presentation, and the students totally called me on it. And they're like, dude, your portfolio looks like mess.
I think you did that on purpose, just to make sure they're paying attention.
You can tell people that all you want.
Now,
I'm not going to stop
look,
you.
I'm not going to come present to all the listeners out there, all six of you or whatever, but you can check on our work at our websites if you want to see what kind of where our advice is coming from.
We can do that. Donovan!
Now, Nate, what I want to ask you, though.
Okay.
Now, what is a portfolio?
Turns out, Donovan... Portfolios are the greatest and most important things ever made in the history of anything.
Sounds important.
The entire, sort of like the One Ring. The One Ring of design, if you will.
So the portfolio is the precious.
really is. The portfolio is like the golden rays of sunlight that warm the earth. The portfolio is like the cure for cancer, AIDS, and possibly also death. The portfolio single-handedly led the Jews from Egypt and parted the Red Sea, also landing on the moon several centuries later. Portfolios are the wicked smartest thing in the world, solving the theory of relativity.
Now, I also hear that portfolios created every single web meme ever.
Portfolios invented Invisible Sandwich. They are also the king of America, when America gets a king shortly. And I one time saw portfolios kick Chuck Norris's ass. And back when Huckabee was made, they made Huckabee. Unfortunately, portfolios also unmade Huckabee, so
yeah, you know, so they're not as important as you're saying, is what you're telling me.
It turns out, yeah. Okay, maybe not so much. Maybe we're blowing that out of proportion a little bit.
Maybe just slightly, 10%.
Yeah, maybe 11%, maybe. Okay. I like 11
as a
number.
I'll go up to 11.
Okay. Really, at the end of the day, a portfolio is a book that holds your work. You show it to people, and that's it. It has no real magical powers.
Now, the goal of the portfolio is to present your work in the best possible light, and by that, you mean my work.
Just your work.
Now, you also mean that award I won.
You know what? I do not mean that award that you won in that magazine.
Okay, so then the portfolio, I should put the magazine in the portfolio.
No, I wouldn't do that either, Donovan.
Then where do I put my award in my magazine?
You should put that on your resume. Resumes are great places to land things like, I won 10 awards in Coop or How or Print or CA.
Okay, and then I put my resume on the front page of my portfolio.
No, don't do that either, because that's tacky, and I've seen a lot of people do that, and it turns out it just kind of comes off as like, you should be showing me your work, and the resume is sort of like the hidden portfolio piece that should be all about typography and organization, but it should never occupy a page in your book.
So where do I put that?
Well, your portfolio should come with pockets, places to put things, like dimensional pieces, things that fold down. You can stick it in one of those in the front or the back and hand it to someone, you know, with a little personal interaction. Now, we got a couple rules. Now, what Donovan, would be your tips for making a successful book, what to show your work from?
Now, the goal here is, once again, it's to show your work in the best possible light. Your work's already done.
Okay.
So now it's like laying out a brochure. You don't just throw everything there and no consideration.
And hope
you
that make it sure works when it's done, yeah.
Yeah, you want to make sure that everything is completely ordered appropriately. Mm-hmm. Things that don't make sense need to be moved.
Right.
So then what you want to do is, you also want to make sure that you start and end strong. You want to start on your best work. You want to end on your best work.
Tell me why you want to do that.
Because when you talk to people, they're going to remember the first thing they saw from you, and they're going to remember what you left them with.
Right. And that last piece is going to stay open while they're going to ask you about other things, not just your work. And that last page generally stays open while they do that.
Now, the other thing you want to do is, if you have two pieces and you're like, well, these are both my best work, how do I put and there's kind of like, you were not sure which start, which to end on with. I always just say, start on the one that's you're going to get through quicker. Because the worst thing to me anyway is to start your interview, have a piece, talk about it for like 15, 20 minutes, and then all of a sudden go to your second piece. You don't get the flow right in your resume and stuff.
Now remember, Donovan, as you're ordering this thing, you're going to have to move some things around.
So
if you move one thing, you should move the other.
And you also you should watch the overall flow of pieces too, because if your portfolio has a bunch of black, white, and red pieces, which I assume it does if you're a design student,
probably,
you should kind of pace those accordingly.
Also, rehearse, something that maybe we should be doing a little bit more of here. Spend some time with your friends, spend some time with your family, talk about your work, talk to them about your work, you know, get used to having a conversation about it. That will only help you in an interview situation. Another thing to keep in mind is that class is over. You should go back into those old projects, redo the things that you can make better.
But Nate, now what if the teacher tells me that piece, I mean, for the class assignment, it had to be 11 by 17, it had to be in black and white?
Well, that's exactly what I'm talking about, Donovan. It's like, okay, that doesn't matter anymore. No one is ever going to care about that again. You know, whether it had to be a certain size for class or a certain topic for class, who cares? What people are really interested in, especially out there, you know, interviewing for jobs and showing your book, is, you know, what was the thought process behind it? What was the reason for this coming into being? And the reason should be something besides, I was told to do this by my professor.
And sometimes the class requirements are there for a reason, but they really do hurt a project. Like, depending on if it was a specific size or format or color or something, because you had to do it that way for class, which made sense for the educational purposes, but doesn't for the portfolio. So ignore all that previous rule.
Yeah, and the other point to that effect is that as a graduating senior, your design ability is going to be so much better than it was when you were a sophomore or a junior. So really, really go back into those old projects, fix all the things that look like mistakes now, and just make your work better overall. No part of that that is not going to help you down the road moving forward.
Now, here's the other key to this is that when people see your resume, they know that you're just graduating from school. Mm-hmm. And so they know that these are all class assignments or that most of them are. The key to what Nate's trying to tell you is that you don't need to constantly remind people. You want to remind them that you know how to talk about your work as if it's actual work.
Talk about your work, not about your class. Everyone knows that you're a graduating student, and a lot of students get afraid of that. Like, oh, it doesn't look like real work. Well, it's not going to, and everyone is okay with that. Go in with what you got, baby. Next rule, one item per page. And by page, I mean page spread. That means two pages.
That's now, the left and the right.
That is the left and the right-hand page.
So Donovan, you would leave. This. Okay, so... let's say you've got this really hot album cover. This is an example. Paula Scherer did this.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I thought you did that.
No.
Okay.
And so you put this, there's extra space in my book, so I put it with a bunch of other albums.
Right.
All of a sudden, you can't focus on this anymore. It makes no sense.
Yeah, you're cluttering it up with a bunch of unrelated, unnecessary crap.
It looked better with just what it was supposed to be and not dealing with other things. So leave the other page blank if you need to.
Yeah. Never be afraid to leave a blank page. Have a better presentation. Know your audience. Know what to highlight. Donovan?
Yeah, if you're going in and you're going to, you know, you should highlight exactly for the job you're going in for. If you're going into an ad agency, you should probably highlight some more ad-based work. Mm-hmm. If you're going in to become a photographer, you should probably have photography in your book.
Next section.
This is how to take advice.
This is important.
And
what's the first rule?
The first rule is you listen to everything that we say and you follow it verbatim because it's correct.
Everything that we say is hella right. Rule number two, everyone thinks everything they say is hella right.
But I thought it was.
No. No, it turns out not. You got to consider the source on a lot of those things. Everyone will give out portfolio tips. A lot of people like to do the portfolio tip podcast. Everyone's got a different take on how it should be done, so make sure that every information you take with a grain of salt.
And here's, well, you don't take it with a grain of salt. You ask them why.
Mm.
Because what I did was
rule number three, look at you.
Yeah, you ask. And what I did was I came to this exact event that we were speaking at, Meet the Pros.
Mm-hmm. Back when you were a youngin.
It's 11 years prior.
Good Lord.
Yeah, you can see how things change.
I know.
And I brought this piece with me.
And this one right here.
This one, yeah, the one that you're looking at on your screen. And there's a couple pieces on this. One is this was actually a three-panel thing. The other two panels didn't look good, but it was that whole it's no longer for class, so I didn't show the other two panels. You don't have to present it as it was. And I got two words of advice from this, and the first one was actually from a copywriter. He told me that this was the best piece in my book and that I should take it and put it on my front page.
But Donovan, he's a copywriter. What does he know?
Exactly. So then the next person I talked to, absolutely next, was an art director. And he told me that this was the worst piece in my book, and I need to just remove it.
Mm.
And what I did
And he's
was,
an art director. He must be a genius.
Well, no, you got to ignore the bad advice. And the way you find out who that bad advice is you ask him why, and then you make up your own decision on things. So I asked the copywriter why he thought it was the best piece, and he said, well, it shows the most creativity, it's visually striking, and it shows me what you could design.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, that sounds like a logical reason. And then I asked the art director why he thought I should remove it from my portfolio, and he says, no one would do a piece on Bradbury Thompson unless it was for class. And thus, it's not real-world work, so thus I should remove it. And I said, yeah, that doesn't sound right.
Okay, right now, like, I'm not entirely sure who reviewed that book, but that dude is a thug. That goes directly against the last point I made about, like, you are a student, you will have student work, and if anyone gives you crap about that, you tell them where to go.
Some of the student work shows better creativity and experimentation than the actual work does anyway.
There's a ton of student work that is more experimental, pushes more boundaries, and is just flat out better than professional.
Well, because I asked, I ended up putting this thing front page. I got a job.
Section 5. Let's pretend we've been numbering these. If you can go back and figure out what sections 1 through 4 were, you get a free prize. Your portfolio won't get you hired.
Huh? Then Nate, if my portfolio won't get me hired, what's going to get me hired?
You get you hired.
All right!
Nice.
All right. So,
high five it.
So what you're telling me is that they're not only interested in what I have to show, but they want to actually see that they can actually work with someone when they interview them?
Turns out, yes. You are a person that gets hired for a job. Your portfolio doesn't show up for work every day. It doesn't leave the coffee pot empty without making a new batch. It doesn't stink up the bathroom, and it doesn't leave his muddy shoes on the desk.
You're really making it sound like I can get hired now.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what I'm here to do, baby.
So what's going to help me when I go into this interview? What should I know?
Interview tips. Number one, the first thing you got to know is what you are talking about. Number two, you got to be educated about your work.
So if I do a piece on Bradbury Thompson and have that in front of my book, I should probably know a little bit about him?
You should probably have the slightest clue of who Bradbury Thompson is.
Okay, then I need to remove that from my book, which it is now.
Yeah, okay, good. Good. I'm glad you took that out. Also because it's student work and you've been not a student for 27 years. For 27 years. Talk process, not software. But everybody uses the same software now.
Yeah, the minute somebody says, hey, did you do that in Photoshop because it looks like it? You're telling me it's not a good thing.
Yeah, that means you have failed at using the Photoshop. If you're going into graphic design, you know the Adobe suite. You probably can find your way around in Quark.
Now, if they're asking you specific questions on software, you should probably answer those. But you shouldn't be like, so I did this, and I like took Illustrator, and then I like did this, and I put it in InDesign.
Yeah, no joke. That's the way everybody does it. Unless the one exception I'll make to this rule is Flash is totally its own thing. There's a couple other programs like that.
But if you're showing Flash work, they know that you know Flash.
Yeah, but
they'll ask those questions. You should spend the majority of your interview talking about the process and the concepting and the actual design part of it.
Indeed. Number four, and these are getting heartfelt, I'd say, care about what you do. Give a crap, okay? Learn everything that you can, even after school.
Yeah, and so like, you know, you can learn things from our website, 36point.com.
You can, oh my God. Oh, I mean, it's unbelievable how much you can learn from 36point.com.
Or the Reflex Blue Show. But, you know, if you want to go old school, you can, you know, here, I'm going to read Debbie Millman's book as soon as I'm done reading Michael Bayroot's book, which I'm almost through.
You haven't read Debbie's book yet? You're a jerk.
I bought it.
Okay, that's true.
Then when I'm done with that, I'm going to buy The Elements of Typographic Style because Marianne Banshees told me I need to like learn how to type.
Man, you haven't read that yet? You're a jerk.
And then when I'm done with that, I'm going to learn a little bit more about Festivus.
I like that. Number six, get involved.
And there's a lot of places to get involved. The presentation we were given was given out by OFA.
That's the Omaha Federation of Advertising.
Hence we're pimping their website here.
Generally good people. We've also got our local AIGA chapter on here.
And they had an event that night we were trying to convince the people to go to.
Yeah. I can generally, you don't have to go to the Nebraska chapter AIGA events. Let's say you're in Oregon or London. You don't have to come here. It's not going to be worth the trip. But there's probably a local graphic design group or some such organization for you to go hang with. And definitely the advice is get involved. Number seven is a close personal rule of mine. And sometimes, I'm not going to lie to you, I fail at this. But I always attempt to live by this rule. Don't be an asshole.
Sure you do. So anyway, what makes my book better than yours, Nate? All right, so...
I'm sorry.
All right.
I don't mean to laugh that long.
All right, so what... I mean, we had two judges that were in the AIJ judging show, and they told me that what would make my book better than yours was if I would have bribed them.
That's true. What was hilarious is that both of them, without really knowing the other one said it, was that they both brought up bribery. So we can officially say bribery does, in fact, help. I'm going to go with details. Let's take, for instance, the normal student project. You see this a lot. The magazine cover. Now, Donovan, how can they make a magazine cover better?
Well, it's the details, man. You want to put... why have just a cover when you can do the cover and the spine? Why have that when you can also put, like, the UPC code, the pricing? I mean, anything you do, it's not a bad thing to actually pull up an actual magazine cover, see all that little fine print. Like, if you're doing an ad, pull up the ad, see what the copyright statements are. You know, get every single detail, make it look as real as possible.
A lot of people leave those off. A lot of students do. And quite honestly, when you get into the world, you're going to have to learn to deal with those tiny little details. So you may as well start incorporating that into your work now. Also, start incorporating photos of Scarlett Johansson, because we all like to see that.
The other thing that can be is that you see a lot of motivation. Mm-hmm. And you can tell it from the book because people with a lot of motivation, the better books I've seen, a lot of the work is done outside of class. They picked up an internship. They did works for their family. They picked up some clients, or they just did work because they enjoyed doing work.
Mm-hmm. Donovan, you've got a special rule here. We're going to do a little aside, if you will, about group projects. A lot of students are scared to put group projects
well,
in.
I've had a couple students, they had a project and then they're like, oh, you think that's my best piece? Well, I didn't know about that. And I said, why didn't you want to put this in here? And they said, well, I did that in a group. And and I was afraid, you know, I wasn't the only one who worked on it, so I didn't want to take all the credit. And I was like, no, that's better because these people are hiring you, and they're hiring you to work with a team normally. Most jobs.
True.
And having a group project in there shows that you can work with a team.
Yeah. Now, in fact, I'd like to see generally more group projects in student work.
Now, the group projects should be at around the same level as the rest of your work. I mean, they can be a little better, they can be a little worse. So, like, let's say you're the boy wonder of design.
Let's give an example.
And you have one group project, and it's the worst thing in your book. It looks like, to me...
What's that say about you?
It means that you either had a terrible group to work with, or you just can't work with a group. And if you had a terrible group, don't show it. On the other hand, if your project is awesome...
Let's say maybe above the level of everything else in your book?
Like way above the level.
Right.
And it's the only thing that's that awesome? I'm starting to wonder, okay, who else worked on that? Because I want to hire them because they're like the hot mess.
Yeah, okay, yeah. If everyone else is elevating the level of your book, maybe just take that one out.
Yeah, you want everything. I mean, it can be a little better than your work, can be a little worse. But, you know, it should look like you can do the consistent quality work either alone or with a group.
You want the same level. Now, next point. Make real things. If you're going to make like a Mountain Dew can, don't do a fake Photoshop. I'm going to put a little cylindrical filter on this.
And don't just print out a flat label because nobody ever sees it that way when you see the whole flat label.
Indeed. What do you want to do? You want to put that on the can. Either bring the can or take a beautiful photo of that can, but make it for real. And we had on the old show, we did an interview with Robert Bruner, who's an amazing product designer, and he touted that as like his amazing student tip. Make real things. If you're going to make a magazine cover, like we just said, print it out and wrap it around the actual magazine. Staple it, saddle stitch it in there, and make it for real and have that. It has so much more presence in your book than just a flat printout of whatever it is you had laying around.
And the main thing is people are wanting to see when they see your book. It's not just the work. They want to see the concepts behind it. They want to see that you can problem solve and that you can come up with unique ideas. And if that fails...
Lens flare.
Page curl.
What? Neon edges on the page curl.
Now, this meta humor is going to pick up, right?
I think so. If people weren't watching that, I actually highlit the practical page curl effect. And I'm damn proud of that.
And look how... I mean, it's on there now, but look how much hotter that looks.
Mm.
You can see how much the page curl adds to that.
I know. Page curl really solves a
lot
of problems.
Now, supposedly this is the finale.
This is it, dude. Let's bring it home. This is Portfolioed on the Reflex Blue Show on the 36 Point. We're bringing it to you. We're bringing it home. Challenge the status quo. Change the world. Show yourself.
You're this close, you might as well graduate.
Probably should graduate, and then it will be time for you to get out into the job market and hunt for that job.
That job market looks good.
Don't be afraid of this scary man.
And once
tiger.
That happens, Nate, it's all going to be fame.
Drugs.
It's going to be drugs.
It's
and it's going to be supermodels.
Yes. Now that's what I'm talking about.
Thank you very much. I'm Donovan Beery.
Yeah. It turns out I'm still Nate Voss. We'll see you next week. To send questions or comments to The Reflex Blue Show, please visit 36point.com. The Reflex Blue Show is hosted by Nate Voss and Donovan Beery, music produced by Dust Lab. Find out more at myspace.com/dustlab.